You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Hope you guys are doing wonderful, and thank you so much for all of your support and encouragement as we continue to grow and expand and bring you more and more entertainment every week. If you have a paranormal experience of your very own, we'd love to hear from you, and you could potentially be a guest on the podcast yourself. Just email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. So hope to hear from you guys and get in touch with us. We got a great show lined up for you guys tonight. This is a really cool one. Again, some of my favorite shows that we do on our live show on YouTube is when we get lots of call-ins. And tonight's show is a compilation of several call-ins that we received on the live show. And these are some incredible stories, and we sure hope you like them. I was just flabbergasted. We had such a great time and great participation. So we're bringing it to you right here. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Oh, there's a call. Just like that, Don.
There you go.
Just like that.
Ask and ye shall receive.
Yeah, way to bring the bounty. All right, this is area code 940. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
Hey. How you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're good. We're just having a good time here. But who are we talking to? Just first name.
This is Sony Jenkins.
Welcome. Thanks for calling in, brother. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you talk about angels and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I had a bad car accident in 2007.
Oh, okay.
I flipped my car like 9 times, according to witnesses. I was on a country road.
Wow.
And I was going about 60, and I hit this curve, and I swerved to miss a cow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And so my car rolled. I ejected 80 feet. From my car through and over a barbed wire fence.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And you know what happened?
I don't.
I felt this angel, like, just set me down, man. Like on in the middle of a mesquite pasture.
Wow.
And no brain damage, nothing. All I did was tore my ACL.
Really?
Oh, you are so fortunate.
That was it.
Wow.
That's amazing. You had no right even to be alive, did you?
I'm sorry?
I said you had no right even being alive at that speed and being ejected from a car through a barbed wire fence.
Well, yeah, and I used to say, you know, I should have died, but right. I've kind of gotten away from that mindset.
Good for you.
If you will.
Yep.
Yeah, so I just felt an angel's presence. Like, I think it was my cousin who passed away, like, in 05.
Okay.
And I felt her, and I just felt like I was just lied on the ground, you know what I mean? Just like, in some kind of... some kind of like paranormal, non-physical way. I don't know even how to describe it, but it was great. And, but that was, my experience, and I got away with, I was very lucky. I'm very blessed, and I don't take any day for granted anymore. So anyway, guys, I just love your show. Check me out. I'm Stoney Jenkins on YouTube. Love you guys.
Oh, that's really cool, buddy. Brother. Thanks for calling in and sharing the story, man. Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to hear.
Right on, man.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys take care.
You too, buddy.
Okay, see you now.
Yeah, Stoney Jenkins. All right,
bye.
Yeah, he'd been in chat a couple times, so it's nice to hear. Yeah.
That's cool.
Kind of an awesome story, you know, and being able to maybe identify the being or the angel, whatever you might want to call that, mm-hmm. because I am who I am as his cousin,
yep.
you know, and so they must have really been close. And so that's awesome. That's an awesome story.
You know, and I agree. So some people, adhere to the idea that, well, angels are a different thing. They're not people.
Right.
But I disagree with that. I think that many times, our loved ones can become our angels and can watch over us and keep us safe and protected. I believe in that wholeheartedly, and it stands to reason. Yeah, I saw that. I'm going to get to the other call.
Yeah, no, it does. I think you're right. I don't think there's, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to the other call here, and this is caller from area code 951. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Lou.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, Lou.
Now you can tell us about that accident.
Yeah. So it's funny that guy just said that he had a car accident. Sounds similar to mine, because I think that I was told that I rolled, I think, like 5 or 6 times. And I'm pretty sure I hit a curb, which caused my truck to roll.
Okay.
Oof. But at the night that it happened, I was 19 and I was drinking a lot. I had a 0.42 blood alcohol level when they found me, so it must have been higher earlier.
Jeez.
And I had taken, I'll just say, well, I'd taken like ecstasy pills, and I was just a party animal at the time. And it was a walking blackout that night.
Right.
And, pretty much all my memory of the driving part of it at the end of the night was wiped from my memory. The last thing I remember was walking out to my vehicle and clicking the unlock button and seeing the lights go off.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then I got in a car accident about maybe 10 minutes later down the way. And when I woke up in the hospital, though, I found out I was paralyzed, my mom told me. And then at some point, it was kind of a haze because I was on, you know, the drug they usually give you, morphine.
Okay.
And, within a few days, there was a lady there, and her name was Christina, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. Her name had Christ in it, which is strange enough, but she met my mom in the waiting room, and, she came into the room, and as soon as she turned the corner, I noticed how she had these bright blue eyes that I've never seen anybody with such bright blue eyes. And she prayed for me, and while she was praying, all my pain just completely went away. And I take pain meds for my back pain, and I have nerve pain because of the accident, and so I kind of understand the opiate feeling.
Sure.
But it was, and I was on morphine at the time, and that it never cures completely the pain.
Sure.
But when she prayed for me, it completely cured the pain. And even more than that, it was, I was feeling really good. I'll just put it that way.
Right.
And, and as she prayed for me, I don't remember exactly what I think she said something like, "The Lord, you're the Lord's child," or something like that. Mm-hmm. But as she prayed for me, I had a vision. It was like, it's like when you close your eyes and you could see through your eyelids and everything's kind of red and yellowish.
Oh, sure.
It was like that, but it's not, it was much more than anything I've ever pictured in my mind. This image came into my mind of the kind of stereotypical Jesus with the long hair, and he was holding me, and I was an infant. It was like the pictures I'd seen of me as a baby.
Oh, wow.
And there was a figure next to him with the long white hair and the long beard, and the face was going in and out of focus. And so I can't really remember, you know,
right,
the face of God, or which I don't think anybody, not even in the Bible, nobody really knows what he looks. No, he doesn't have a look to his face.
Right. Sure.
So I thought it was really crazy. But yeah, that was my miraculous healing, and it was it's indescribable feeling. It's really strange.
That's amazing, and man, that's powerful. And you have to feel like it's got to be an incredibly special feeling to know that you received that. I mean, you received that, you know, whether it's the attention of the divine or what it is, but you know, those kind of profound events have such incredible ramifications to the rest of our lives.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom had kind of a weird thing happen to her too when she her and her ex-boyfriend, they spun out on the freeway going, you know, freeway speed, like 70 miles per hour or something. I think they were in a Mazda Miata at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they were spinning out, and they were about to hit the median, the center divider. And she said that both of them saw it, and they talked about it afterwards, but she saw a white car appear out of nowhere and hit her car right before they hit the median.
Oh.
And then it just kept going, and they talked to people that pulled over after they, you know, quit spinning out and were on and stopped on the freeway and stuff, and everybody else was like, they were like, "Man, did you see that car? Why didn't that car stop for us, like that car that hit us before we hit the median?" And everybody was like, "What? We don't know what you're talking about." But that car left a white paint splatter on her car.
Wow.
Not a scratch, but a white paint splatter.
Right.
Maybe some ancestors looking out for us, or I don't know, but
right.
Yeah, we both had some crazy, wow, unexplainable experiences like that.
That's really cool. Very, very cool. I'm just thrilled that you called in. I'm thrilled that you called in, brother. That's really amazing. It's always great to get a chance to hear. Go ahead. No, I was just.
Oh, I heard the story because it was weird that other guy said that he flipped his car and all this too.
Right,
so. I had mentioned it.
That's the serendipity right there.
Yeah,
on
definitely.
The portal is, you know, these shows that, you know, Don and I have tried for years to plan this show, but it just always kind of does what it does. And all of you guys are such a big part of that. And what you bring to the shows is absolutely amazing. You know, your encounter is beautiful and it's amazing.
Well, Stoney's was too. No doubt there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy how, you know, he actually said he was going to talk about UFOs because we don't do too many UFO shows anymore.
Yeah.
And he's got it there, and then he clicks on it, and it sends you to an angel page.
Yep.
And then here we are. We've got two great phone calls on with two people who have had these experiences, and that's what the show is about. Mm-hmm. There's no way to script that. Yep.
No, exactly. We have no idea.
Yeah, I think that the serendipity or synchronicities are happening more often now.
Yeah,
we live in strange times. Right? There's no doubt about it. I've been experiencing them like crazy. The other day, I had deja vu like five times. I don't know how many times I had it. And then this podcast I watched called Edge of Wonder. Mm-hmm. The host started talking about, oh, I keep having deja vu today. Right as I was about to ask other people in this Discord that I'm on if they're having deja vu as well. And I was like, dude, this is crazy.
Yeah. It's funny how the answers come to us, you know, and the information just finds you.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool, brother. Well, thank you so much for calling in and being a part of tonight's show. And it's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Yeah absolutely.
For sure. Thanks, guys. I hope you have a good one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, bud. Wow.
That's awesome.
Two awesome calls.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
See, I said maybe you're supposed to talk about this stuff tonight.
Just roll with it. That's how it is. Absolutely. I'm not fighting it, believe me. I mean, we've both been doing this for long enough that we know when things go sideways, they're supposed to go sideways.
Yeah, just let it go. See what happens. Absolutely.
We're on a journey.
We are. Wow.
And you are with us. Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. We do have a call. Okay, area code 231, you're on the air.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hi, how are you? Who is this, Shelly?
Yeah, it's Star Walker. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind tonight?
I'm not sure what to share on my mind. I've got a lot going on. Let's see. You all have been talking about so many spectacular experiences. I feel like mine shadow in comparison.
Oh, no, every experience is amazing. So we love hearing about all of them.
How do you guys feel about not closing the door to a Ouija board?
I think it's a bad idea. I think it's incredibly, can be incredibly problematic, is what I feel about
that. Okay, well, like, I was a young teenage girl 30 years ago experimenting with it and didn't get a chance to shut it, so,
Youch.
You know, I'm not sure if it's affected my life.
That could be. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of stories of people developing attachments from Ouija boards. You said you didn't get the chance to close it. Did you have to hide it for some reason because somebody was coming or something?
No, I was having an experience with my mother down in Mississippi and in a house that was like a conglomerate of homes put together.
Okay.
Like three different homes put together in the area with three different types of experiences. drownings, main room being a observing room for the dead back in the day. Lot of paranormal experiences at the Mama House down in Mississippi. And at the time when we were, me and my mother were messing around with the Ouija, said her father was sitting in the room with us, and she got up and left. She went and cried, and there was no goodbye at that moment in time. So I think that's where it's been, like, in a cliffhanger, like, my whole life.
Okay. Well, no, you know, let me tell you this, Shelly. Let me just take a moment and explain and let you know that we do have people... people attached with the show that are happy to help free of charge to help people if they think that there's a negative attachment or problems with spirits, and they'll be happy to cleanse it for you if you need that or if you'd like to check into that. Please let me know. I'd be happy to put you in touch with them. Again, it's no charge.
Do I reopen another Ouija board and close it?
Or no.
Do
I would advise severely against it.
Yeah, I don't think that that's necessary. I mean, it's not the act of opening or closing a Ouija board that's going to either correct or exacerbate it. It's the fact that, you know, well, first of all, I think it's good to have somebody who has the ability to look into the situation to see if what you're experiencing is indeed what you're experiencing or if there's some other cause for this to be happening for you. And I'm not saying it's not paranormal. It most probably is, but it might not be from that at all. And so that's, it may have something to do with the Ouija board and it may not. But if there isn't something attached to you and that could be causing your problems, these people can certainly help. And have helped many, many people already.
It's been like 30 years. Sure. And when I first experienced it, it was Zozo's and my Ouija board.
Yeah.
And it told me I would be married to the name of the man I married. And I would have 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. All that has occurred. And it also told me I had a guardian angel.
Hmm.
But at the same time, there's always that darkness that shadows the whole existence.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and if you've got something like that trailing you or you believe you do, then that's, you know, it's something that's definitely worth checking into. But no, it doesn't have to be done via a Ouija board. An attachment is its own thing. I don't know. Do you even have the old Ouija board anymore?
Oh, my goodness, no. Okay. Like I said, that was like 40-something years ago, or 30-something years ago. So,
yeah,
unfortunately, no.
Yeah, and that's why the Ouija board
isn't... I'm totally leery about ever touching one again, but sure. If it's what would be necessary to close a door, I would do it just to shut it down.
No, it wouldn't be necessary to even touch one or have anything to do with one again. It's just the mechanics of something having come through. That was like, it can be a doorway, and you know the door itself is not the problem. And if you don't even have the board anymore anyway, that's a moot point. But if there is something that did come through and managed to attach to you, that's all about energy and it's all about just cleansing. And the board itself is inconsequential.
Okay, well, a couple months ago, I ventured around a couple cemeteries, and I felt a lot more at peace and a lot more cleansed than what I've felt for the past 30 years. So is that a way for me putting that spirit to rest by exploring these cemeteries?
It may be, because... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say...
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say it may be. I mean, of course, there's lots of people that believe that cemeteries have a lot of portals. And so it is possible that, a soul following you around might have just gone through the portal eventually and, you know, found their way out. It's hard to know for sure. But the cemeteries are usually... sacred ground, like holy ground, if you will. I mean, most of the earth around there has been blessed, and it may be a less likely to have a lot of negative stuff going on. It may not. I mean, it depends on the cemetery, I suppose. Some groups like to go in and corrupt cemeteries, and that's a whole other issue. But if you feel like it was a peaceful place for you, then maybe that was very therapeutic, and maybe it helped this thing cross by itself.
Right, yeah.
Just being in a place like that,
yeah.
You know.
I hope so too, because I did get a very cleansing feeling when I left there. It felt like it was like a weight off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I hope that.
Years.
Yeah, I hope that that's the case, because those are tough things for sure. But yeah, I mean, we can.
Oh, it really is, especially when it forecasted my future.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that happened, so it's kind of eerie, and I just want to lay it to rest and move forward.
So do you feel like it's still an issue now, or not so much anymore?
Not so much anymore, but maybe a little bit. Maybe it's where I am now that my home or this area has some kind of negative energy that wants to keep pulling these things back into my realm.
Okay. Well, you know,
do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know. Again, I'm on the outside looking in through a phone conversation, so it's hard to know for sure. But I think it's something we could certainly help you with if you're willing to, you know, explore that option. But as you know, no pressure. I just wanted the portal to be more than just a place to tell stories. I wanted it to be able to help people too. And I've got a couple of amazing people that have stepped up and have done a lot to help a whole lot of people that needed help.
I appreciate that, Brent.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic following your channel and your show. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. You appreciate it.
Well, thanks, you guys. I really don't want to take up any more of your time. I appreciate the little input. Maybe I'll check back in next show.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, tomorrow there'll be another show. So if you're in the neighborhood, stop in. We'd love to have you back. But if you do want to get in touch, just let me know. Just email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, okay? Sounds like a deal.
All right, you guys, I appreciate your time. I don't want to hold you up. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, of course. Thanks for calling in and being a part of the show.
Thank you. Have a great night, guys.
Okay, good night.
Night-night. Well, geez. Wow. Yeah, when she said, what do you guys think about leaving a Ouija board open? I'm like,
yeah, exactly. The red lights go off.
Ouija board alert. Ouija board alert. We have an open gate.
We have an open portal. Yeah. Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up. We're going in.
Phone call.
Okay. Phone call. It just came in, too. Well, let's get to this phone call and find out what's going on. And this is area code 812. You're on the air.
Am I really on the air?
You yes. really are. I promise. It's the real thing.
Oh, cool. Hold on here. I got to shut some stuff off here.
Oh, sure, okay. Sure. Do whatever you need.
I left it. Sorry about that, buddy.
That's no worries.
I probably need to mute.
Oh.
I need to mute the
okay.
TV. Sorry.
Nope, take your time. It's fine.
Hold on, buddy.
Okay.
There you go. All right, guys. I think, can you hear me all right now?
Yeah, we're hearing you great.
Okay, I live in Indiana. I live in the southern part of Indiana. I've lived down here since the early 90s when I come down here and went to college. And my first experience with anything paranormal or whatever happened while I was deer hunting with my buddies.
Okay.
So that's kind of what got me into the whole the whole deal. I went with my buddies to a place to hunt, and it was an old guy had a little farm, and he'd let us deer hunt during bow season, and I'd gotten a deer there, and so we went there for opening day of gun season. Mm-hmm. Well, we decided we'd go there. We'd get there about an hour before daylight, mm-hmm. trying to beat all the other hunters in. And I had picked out a spot to hunt in the woods that was about 300 yards in. My cousin stayed on the outside edge of the woods. And this area was like a... It made like a bowl down the bottom, and it had four ravines that came in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on top of one looking down in the ravine. And that morning it had been like misty, and it was overcast, so it was like pitch dark black in there. You couldn't see anything. And so I decided, I know it's not the smartest thing in the world, but back then I didn't have tree stands like a climber to hunt in. So I was hunting on the ground, and I ended up finding that area, and I started to walk back into the woods to where I was going, dropped my cousins off the edge of the field,
mm-hmm.
and I got about halfway back, and I hear something, and so I wasn't using my flashlight. I was just trying to find film my way back, because I knew where the path was, and I thought, I better turn the light on in case somebody's hunting back here, so... I flip the light on, and there's a deer standing up on the ravine beside me. So I shut it off real quick, and then I continued on back through the trail there, and I get back to where I'm sitting. And I lean my gun up against a tree, and I'm standing there. I was probably there maybe 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, we were there way before daylight, so I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my right, which was in the deeper part of the woods. I'm hearing something walking, and it's coming. And I'm thinking to myself, the deer hunters are pushing me in here, and I'm going to get a good shot. Whatever this is going to come down and be within 30 yards of me, right down in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm sorry if I'm sounding nervous, because I'm a little nervous here. But
that's okay.
Anyway, this thing comes in. It kind of goes past me just a little bit, and it stops, and it stopped walking, and it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking down in the dark, and I'm listening. I can't hear anything. And then all of a sudden, it was like, have you ever seen the old cartoon Felix the Cat with the eyes with the slits in them?
Oh, sure.
And these eyes lit up in the dark. They had slits on them. And they were, I'm guessing, they were probably the size of a softball, about that size. And at first, when I seen it, I thought to myself, somebody's come in here with a... some coon hunter lamps on, and they're messing with me. And so I sit there and I'm watching it, and it's looking back at me, but when I'm looking at it, it's like it's not lighting the ground up around it or anything. I can't see the shape of it, but it's probably up off the ground. I'm guessing 7-8 feet off the ground.
Oh,
and the eyes. And so as quick as it had come in, it stood there and it was like looking in my direction. And you know, you've heard him talk about, like, the mind speak or whatever. It
sure.
was kind of like something like that. And I had this feeling, it said to me, I just wanted you to know that I'm here. And then just as quick as the lights appeared, it was like they just winked out, or they either turned its head and closed its eyes or whatever. And then it just continued and walked out, and I listened to it walk out all the way to the edge of the field.
Wow.
Oh my and God. Gone. And then just kind of took off. But anyway, that was... one of the experiences that I've had. I around the same time where we lived at, over in that area, we would see these lights at night, and these lights that would appear, they were orange balls of light.
Uh-huh.
And these orange balls of light, what they would do is they would come on, and there wasn't any other blinking lights around or nothing else on them other than they looked like a little bitty sun, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And so one would appear, then it would wink out, and then another one would appear over to the right or left, mm-hmm. and it'd wink out, and it sometimes two or three of them would appear, and then they would merge together as one. And I had a buddy, he's an older guy, he's a Vietnam vet, he's been a sniper in Vietnam, so he was into special forces and different things like that. So I went up to his house one night. We were standing there on the back of his porch, and I saw those lights out there, and he lived up on a big hill. He said it was called a glacial dome is what they called it, where the glaciers had come in and kind of pushed all the dirt up, and it was real high, and you could see forever. And so we're standing there, and we're watching these things, and they make like a triangle pattern, and like one goes inside of another one, and this and that. So I'm standing there watching it, and I told him, I said, Bud, do you think those are illumination flares or, military flares?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and he told me, he said, there's no way. He said, those military flares, they don't go up, they come down. And so I'd seen that, and then I had, like, a few years later, I had an encounter with, I don't know what this thing was. It, in the middle of the night, it kicked on our floodlights, and I got up to use the bathroom, and I thought I'd left the lights on the back porch of the house. So I went and looked through the back window, and I, as I'm looking through the back window, I clicked down the blinds on the window, and there's this cloaked being standing there face-to-face with me on the window, at the window, and as I looked at it, this thing slowly backs up, and it turns sideways, and it starts cutting across the yard at an angle, and as it gets halfway across the yard at an angle, I notice it doesn't have any legs. This thing is floating on the ground, off the ground.
Oh, my God.
And where our window was at, in order for you to be able to look into that window, you'd have to be seven feet at least or bigger to look through that window, because we set up kind of high where, like, you stand on the ground, you wouldn't be able to look into the window. So as this thing cuts across the yard, it gets right to the edge of the tree line, and I can see. I saw it so good, the detail on this thing, that as it turned, I could see every ripple in the fabric of this thing, whatever this thing was. It looked like it had a shimmer to it, like it was like a silk type of a cloth.
Hmm.
And as this thing shot across the yard, the farther it got to the tree line, the faster it got. As soon as it got to the tree line, it was like somebody reached down and grabbed a napkin right out of a... tissue paper right out of the tissue box and ripped it right up into the air. It just gone in the blink of an eye. I mean, it was just that quick.
Right.
But that's what's got me wanting to the paranormal thing, because I've seen...
Let me ask you. You said it was cloaked, but how did you see it? I mean, you say, was it cloaked?
I don't mean like it had a black cloak on, like a black... like a black reaper, like black grim reaper cloak.
Okay.
Is what I'm talking about.
Okay, I gotcha. Because
that's why I could see the ripples in the fabric of whatever this thing was, but it wasn't no bigger than probably, I'm going to say, 3.5-4 feet tall at the most.
Oh my God! Wow.
And so anyway, we've got some crazy things like that going on here in 2018. Me and my mom, I took her mushroom hunting in an area where it's probably about 8 miles from the house here.
Mm-hmm.
And I took her there because the water had come up in the creek. It was a little early. It was in April. It was a little early, and it was still kind of cold. Well, it was pretty decent cold out, but anyway, it had pushed all the leaves out. Well, she had fell one year, and I didn't want her falling, so I took her in a place where she could walk around nice and have a chance of finding mushrooms. And so I went down in the creek and kind of circled around. She kind of stayed up by the car. And when I come around the edge of the creek, I come up on the bank, and there was like a little depression in the ground where the water kind of drained down into the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm standing there, I hear this branches cracking and snapping going through the woods up above me, and I look down, and there's a little tiny baby footprint. And it was, I work in a hospital and help deliver babies, so I know what a human footprint looks like because they take footprints of babies at the hospital all times. But the difference between this footprint and a little tiny baby's footprint was that this footprint is looks like an adult footprint. It's slender. It's not chubby like you'd expect a little baby's footprint to be. So I told my mom, I said, circle way around. I said, I want you to come up here and look at this and tell me what you think. Is this? I told her, because I said, I'm going to try to track this. I've hunted deer for over 30 years and found stuff that people have lost and tracking. So I thought, I'll try to track this. So he swings way up and around, didn't affect the area where it was at, nothing, date back. And so I start tracking and trying to figure out where this thing went, and I can't find any other footprints. There was just one little baby footprint. There was, now, we were standing at, the ground was soft, and it had weed made impressions in the ground, just kind of light impressions. But this was so fresh. This track was so fresh that it had just been made, and it was like down in the ground, deeper than what we were making impressions. But there was no other human footprints or anything else around. And I tried to track it for about 45 minutes. I couldn't find another track. So wow. I ended up casting it. I went back the next day, and I cast it, and I had that print, and I took it to a place called Crypticon down in Kentucky and showed it to Cliff Brock, and I told him, I said, I don't know what this thing is. I said, I have no clue. I said, but to me, I said, it's unusual. We only found one. And he got to looking at it, and he said, what would it take for me to get this from you? And I said, well, I said, if you want it, I'll just give it to you. And he said, no way. And he offered me anything I wanted on his table. And I said, no, that's all right. But, you know, give me a picture or something. But he emailed me, and the picture of that footprint is on his webpage.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and he's going to put it in his museum he set up in Oregon, wherever he lives at up there. But you can see that on his cliffbrockman.com. You can see that. It's called Impressions or something on there. You look, you click on it, and you can see it's like the last print, or it was the last print on the list. And he said it was one of four of the smallest ever found. So I don't know. But anyway, I've been into this paranormal stuff, and my neighbors had a sighting. They've seen, he's a preacher, him and his wife. They saw a Bigfoot cross the road down by our house here in 2004. And not only that, but we've had some UFO sightings here. I actually have a thumb drive that has almost 200 photographs of the UFO that I shot right here by the house. I used a Canon Rebel XT with a long zoom lens on it, and I got pretty decent photographs of it. And I need to have that analyzed by somebody at some point. But I've got the hospital where I work at, one of the nurses that I work with, her dad, that the story I was trying to tell online there was, her dad was mushroom hunting last spring, and he saw a mantis being and a squatch in the same area where he was mushroom hunting. And he said the mantis being was probably about 7 foot tall. And he said when the thing took off, it saw him, and it took off. He said it was like this black portal thing opened up in the ground, and it shot straight down into the ground.
Wow. Oh, my God.
So I'm going to be interviewing him at some point in the future. I don't know yet when that'll happen, but at some point it will.
Wow.
But I had talked to, I went to a MUFON, like a, you know, a little thing they have at a library or whatever,
sure,
a few years back. Mm-hmm. And they had a guy that had been an ex-police officer at this MUFON thing, and he this hacked up around Marion, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
And he talked about how they put him under, he had been abducted, like he got out of his car, and he said, like, his car shut off, he got out, and went to look, popped the hood, and he said the next thing he remembered, he was standing by the car, and he was throwing up. Well, I guess they end up putting this guy under hypnotic regression, and he sees these manis looking type beings, right, on a craft.
Oh.
And then they had another guy, it was a farmer, he was in the south down here, that he'd seen a couple manis beings, but I don't think they had abducted him. But they went and they did some kind of radioactive testing around his vehicle, and they found like some kind of magnetic anomalies and some radiation signals around his truck where these things were standing. So,
oh man,
That's my stories, man. I'm sorry I was so quick.
Wow. No, yeah.
And,
no, you did great. Nervous. But I got you. I got the cast from Cliff's page,
yep,
up on the screen now. So, you know, it's there.
Well, I'll tell you about that cast.
Uh-huh.
That picture that's on his website, why he did this, I don't understand why. But that picture is a picture of the replicas. He made me two replicas and sent them to me. And those pictures are is one of the replicas. But the pictures that I've got, you can see every individual toe and all of the distinguishable features in the footprint. And I have the photographs. I actually have like 10 by 12 photographs of those. And I even laid like newspaper down on the ground with the date on it to get reference of size and everything. But that picture really doesn't do it justice on that website. So.
Wow. Well, that is so cool, and I'm absolutely thrilled that you called in and decided to share all of this with us. I mean, it's been a hell of a call, and you know, it's very possible you could be a guest on our podcast if you'd like to go through these. If we can get a really good connection and real clear sound, it would be fun to interview you.
Hey, I got one other thing left to tell you here. Sure. I would like to do that at some point.
Okay.
I've got a story for you about my grandfather that claimed for years, and he would get emotional about it, and he would cry, that he had met extraterrestrials from the planet Venus, and that they took him on a ship to Mars, and that he got to see that there was life on Mars, and guess what they looked like? They lived underground, and they looked like Sasquatch.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, there's long been speculation, you know.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of.
I'm sorry, my phone.
No, it's fine. Go ahead. Just keep talking, brother.
My phone reception. I live out in the country, and my phone reception is not that good. So I'm sorry about that. But no, go ahead. You were breaking up on me. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I was just saying that, you know, a lot of people have speculated that there is an extraterrestrial origin for the Sasquatch, and I guess that claim definitely lends credibility to that for sure.
Well, these individuals that my grandfather met, they told him that they came from the planet Venus, and people say, well, it's 600 degrees on the planet Venus. You can't live on the surface. Well, one of the things that they told him was that they don't live on the exterior of the planet. They live on the interior of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, and you know who Dr. Frankie Stranges is?
Yes. He wrote Stranger in the Pentagon.
The first time I heard Dr. Frank E. Stranges talk about Valiant Thor and them, that story is very similar to what my grandfather tells.
Wow.
Some of the abilities that those people have.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's amazing.
And I'd never heard of Frankie Stranges, and I know my grandfather didn't hear of Frankie Stranges. He was he built race cars, and then later on in life he was like a Sunday school teacher, and he was into like sports and stuff. He'd go to his house, he'd be watching sports, and then they'd be trying to figure out how to build a race car, and he would never talk about that story until I asked him about it, and he talked to me about it by myself away from everybody else, because everybody would make fun of him.
Oh, that's horrible. I'm glad he was able to share it with you.
Go ahead, buddy.
I said I was glad that he was able to share that with you, though. That's remarkable.
Yeah, he shared it with me three times before he passed away, and every time he told the story, the details never changed. Mm-hmm. He never tried to embellish anything. It was always the same every time he told it.
Wow.
So.
That's cool. Very, very cool.
But we'll save that for another time.
Excellent.
Well, very good, brother. If you'll email me at Paranormal Portal Radio, and we'll try to coordinate a time that we can get together and do an interview for the podcast.
All right. That'll work. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking my call. This is exciting. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to hear from you, and you did wonderful. You know, I know you're nervous, but it was great information. It's just we got to get a better connection for you.
Yeah, and I'll just tell your listeners out there, the people out there that can make fun of everybody they want about these things that are out there, but I have seen it. I was of sound mind. I don't drink, do alcohol, or any of that junk.
Sure.
Never have. The only high I ever got was off deer hunting and fishing and good things in life and not that kind of stuff.
Well, I look forward to hearing from you, brother. Thank you so much for calling in and being part of the show.
You're welcome, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Take care now. Very cool.
That is cool. That is cool. I've only heard one other account of a mantis being before, and this guy This guy I know said that he actually had a mantis being in his house, and they weren't communicating vocally. They were communicating through a piece of technology.
Oh, okay.
And this is back in like the early 90s, and he likened it to like a laptop. So found it really interesting.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, how about you, Don? You feel like we've done a good job?
Yeah, I think we've 4 callers tonight. Awesome job.
We've given nice her all she's got, Captain. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.